And I'm just thinking, like, so my next question was going to be around that, around faith. And how, like, and also I'm thinking about, like, in order to seek out this training and come here and stick with it long enough to take on the training, we do have a confidence or a faith in something.
Yeah.
And then how do we kind of bootstrap that into or sort of expand that faith into these other qualities of training? Because we have something that we like.
Yeah, yeah. No, nobody'd be here if they didn't have that seed of faith and confidence. Lots of other things to be doing, and that are a lot more exciting or interesting. But you know, we've been doing exciting and interesting already, so. I think that sense of looking at particular teachings that one finds really helpful. You know, that's where taking a teaching like the Four Noble Truths and returning to it over and over, try to get different angles on it and see the applicability of it, and of course that gives a tremendous confidence or faith, or the conditionality. Seeing how the what the Buddha's pointing to are these series of conditions and conditionality that take one in certain directions, and the inevitable conditioned nature of things, and dependent, so that dependent origination is that itta pachayata, and seeing those causal processes are, when we understand them, then we can be inhabit them and live within them without being pulled down or getting confused by them. Because it isn't as if one is it's just the way things work. So you're not going to stop that process, but you can understand it and work within it and be free from it in that way, in that one can make skillful choices. And so that the nature of kamma and dependent arising and conditionality, those are important aspects to be investigating to get a sense of, because then one gets a sense of agency. In that sense, not in terms of me, but in terms of, this part of a process that I can understand, and I'm not just a helpless victim of, or a confused kind of. A recipient of something that I don't have anything to do with, and you realize, oh no, this agency is, and that's where that kind of quality of faith can be coming from the aspect of the teaching, so that will Four Noble Truths, dependent arising, the itta pachayata, kamma, those are important aspects of the teaching to be paying attention to, but then also paying attention to the quality of the, I mean the Buddha obviously as as a refuge and as but you know the Buddha's 2,500 years ago and cloaked in mythology and hard for a lot of us to access. And it's not as one continues to practice, and I think it really that faith in the Buddha really grows. But that's in terms as we begin our practice. Yeah, it's important to sort of be investigating the teachings and saying, "Oh, these come from a real person," one of the books that I found incredibly helpful is Nyanamoli's Life of the Buddha, because he did a wonderful job in stripping back coming back to the suttas and a little bit of Vinaya, I think, as well, stories that are really primary sources and getting a sense of the Buddha as a human being and seeing the Buddha as a human being is quite essential. As opposed to a mythical figure. But then you've got various teachers, contemporary teachers that one here in America, it's kind of definitely a bit of a distance, but there are books and resources around that one can recognize that. Okay, here's this kind of unbroken lineage, 2,500 years of practice that has resulted in beings who are quite exemplary human beings, and then that's where it also shifts from an abstract wisdom quality to wise and compassionate example of human existence, and again not abstract where. Kind of untouchable, where, especially my own example of living close to Ajahn Chah, and he both, wise, but very compassionate, sense of humor, also could be irritating. He was a human being, and then exemplifying qualities of patience or of just showing being a good example for others and taking the time to he always had time for people, whereas Ajahn Chah, certainly he didn't have. It was easy for him to he wouldn't put up with a lot of crap, but if one showed any kind of interest, he was really there for people. He always gave time to people, always willing to help. And I see that over and over again with somebody like Lumpa Liam, who is I think by nature a very solitary person who is quite happy not dealing with people at all. But his just seeing over time the effect of his living the Dhamma, where he's still, you go to meet him and spend time with him, and he's kind of aloof, but he's actually there, and then you see what he actually does in his life. He's actually. I mean, he doesn't. I mean, if you ask him, what he's doing, what his schedule is, it's sort of like, I don't do anything. I just eat and I sleep. But he's you know, but he's incredibly plugged into helping and being there for people, both the monastics and the lay community, and he's taking the time to come here and give us encouragement, and he'll do that for others, and he does that in Thailand, and it's just this his ability to give. It's an incredible unselfishness. So that seeing that result of in the human condition and realm of somebody who practices, this is a direct result of Dhamma Vinaya. There's faith arise that, okay, there's change is possible for all of us.